The study this month has been on faith, hope, and love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And tonight's message is on hope. I want to read you an excerpt from the preacher's source book. Tonight's message is on hope. In his book, Winning Life's Toughest Battle, psychologist Julius Segal wrote about the 25,000 American soldiers who were held by the Japanese in POW camps during World War II. Forced to exist under inhumane conditions, many of them died. Others, however, survived and eventually returned home. There was no reason to believe there was a difference in the stamina of these two groups of soldiers. The survivors, however, were different in one major aspect: respect. They confidently expected to be released someday. As described by Robbins readers in Holding On to Hope, they talked about the kinds of homes they would have, the jobs they would choose, and even described the kind of person they would marry. They drew pictures on the walls to illustrate their dreams. Some even found ways to study subjects related to the kind of career they wanted to pursue. Segal goes on to point out that the researchers have found that a hopeful attitude can lead to physiological changes that improve the immune system, the body's defense against toxins and disease. Hope is powerful. Would you agree here tonight? The word for hope in the New Testament is elpis. It means confident expectation. The word hope means confident expectation. It has to do with the unseen and future. Most frequent meanings of hope in the New Testament is the anticipation of good. How many here tonight can use a good dose of hope in your life? Say it again. Most frequent significance of hope in the New Testament is the anticipation of good. And for tonight's purposes, I'll define hope as the confident expectation for something good in your life. Something good is about to happen in your life. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of the good thing God has promised to you personally. I'll say it again. Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of the good thing God has promised to you personally in your life. Something good is about to happen to you. See, hope is the anchor for your soul to bring you through the storms and the waiting period towards the fulfillment of the good thing God has promised to you. It's the anchor for your soul. Say it with me tonight. Hope is the anchor for my soul to bring me through the storms and the waiting period towards the fulfillment of the good promise God has given to me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for a few minutes, we're going to study an Old Testament patriarch, Abraham, a father of the faith. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read from verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Verse 3. "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So God promised to make Abraham into a great nation. Would you agree? From Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. In different words, the same promise is repeated in Genesis 15, verses 4 through 5, and Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8. Now, when God made this promise to Abraham in verse 4 of Genesis 12, Abram was 75 years old. He was 75 years old. When the fulfillment of this promise came about in Abraham's life, how old was he? You can find this in Genesis 21, verse 5. Abraham was 100 years old when the promised son came into his life through whom he would be made into a great nation. So if you take 100 years old minus 75, how many years in hope did Abraham hold on to the promise of God in his life? He held on for 25 years. And in Romans 4, verse 18, Paul writes about this to the Romans. If you got a Bible, you can turn to Romans 4, verse 18. Romans 4, verse 18, talking about Abraham. Against all hope, he says, against all common sense, all common reasoning, Abraham, in hope, in confident expectation, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham held on in hope for 25 years. He had confident expectation for 25 years that God would fulfill the good promise he made in his life. Is that good news here tonight? He held on. He didn't let go. And so I'm here to talk to you tonight about hope in your life, friend. What promise has God made to you from his word and in your times of prayer? What personal promise has God made to you in your life like he made to Abraham in the Old Testament? Think about that for a minute. Maybe you've been praying recently, maybe over the last week, the last month, the last 6 months, and maybe God has promised something good for you in your life. Perhaps you're dealing with financial lack tonight, and maybe God has told you in your times of prayer that he would give you a job or a better paying job. Remember, hope is the anchor for your soul to bring you through the storm and the waiting period of the job search. Maybe God has promised you a job or maybe a better paying job. What is hope? What is hope? Hope is the anchor for your soul to bring you through the storm and the waiting period of the job search. Hope is the confident expectation that you will get that job or that better paying job that God has promised you. Just hold on. Don't let go. Keep on believing God like Abraham did in the Old Testament. Amen. Is that good news here tonight? You know, hope motivates you in the natural to do things. For instance, if you're believing God for a job or a better paying job, you've got to start doing something in the natural. And hope motivates us in the natural to start doing something. It can motivate you to start filling out job applications, one after the other, after the other, after the other. It can motivate you in the natural to start interviewing with prospective employers. And it may be rocky at times. You may get one interview, you may lose two. You may get two interviews, you may lose four. It may be rocky on this job search, but guess what? Hope is the anchor for your soul to bring you through the storminess, the rockiness, the waiting period towards the fulfillment of the good promise that God has made in your life. Is that good news here tonight? Yes. God can do it for you. He did it for Abraham. He did it for others in the Bible. He can do it for you. Maybe tonight you're dealing with sickness in your body. Sickness in your body. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's high blood pressure. Maybe it's heart disease. Maybe it's cancer. And maybe God has promised complete restoration of your health. And you might be dealing with the sickness here tonight. I don't know what it is. And you're like, God, I'm dealing with the sickness. I can't stand it any longer. God, would you help me? And maybe God has promised you, I will heal your body. Hope is the anchor for your soul to bring you through the storm and waiting period of receiving your full health back. Could you say amen here tonight? Amen. Hope is the confident expectation that you will receive the full physical healing that God has promised to you personally. If you give a man hope, he has everything. If you take hope from a person, they lose everything in life. How many need a good dose of hope in your life here tonight? Amen? Remember, as I said earlier, hope motivates you in the natural to start doing certain things to receive that physical healing. Hope is a motivating factor in the natural. What could you start doing in the natural because you have hope of full restoration of your health? You could change your diet. You can get rid of the fatty foods. You can get rid of the cholesterol. You can get rid of the sugars. You can start eating healthy. That's doing something in the natural with this hope that God has given you. Amen?
Amen.
You can start changing your exercise habits. You can start running more. All right? You can start walking more. You can start swimming more. There's things you've got to do in the natural to receive the good promise that God has given to you. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
You see, God is super. How many would agree? God is super. And we live in the natural, right? If we combine our natural with the super God, the supernatural power of God starts to go into effect in our lives. Amen? Maybe tonight you're dealing with a broken or severed relationship. And maybe you've been praying to God about it. God, I've got this broken relationship. This person has left me. This spouse has divorced me. And you're in pain here tonight. And you're dealing with this severed relationship. And maybe God, in your times of prayer, has promised the complete restoration and reconciliation of that relationship. What is hope? Hope is the anchor for your soul to bring you through the storm and waiting period for the restoration and reconciliation of that relationship. Is that good here tonight?
Yes.
Remember, hope is confident expectation of the fulfillment of the good promise that God has made to you personally in your life. God is going to bring you through. God is going to bring you through. Hope motivates you in the natural. Remember, hope is a motivating force in the natural. It can motivate you in the natural to write that person, apologize, and try to build that person's trust again. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that God has got something good for you. Something good is about to happen in your life. Say it with me. Something good is about to happen in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. God has got a blessing right around the corner in your life. God has got a miracle for you. God has got a breakthrough for you personally. And maybe God has promised you that good thing. God will fulfill it in your life. Hope is that anchor for your soul, the confident expectation, the anticipation of the fulfillment of the good promise that God has made for you. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
You don't have to stay stuck in this position all your life. God wants to bring you toward bigger and better things. Amen?
Amen.
But just hold on like Abraham held on. Against all hope, right here, Romans 4:18, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, in confident expectation, anticipation, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham was 75 when God promised him to make him into a great nation. Remember, he was 100 when Isaac was born, through whom the great nation would come. He waited 25 years. He held out in hope for 25 years for the fulfillment of God's good promise in his life. How long have you been waiting? A month? 2 months? 6 months? A year? 2 years? 5 years? Keep on keeping on, friend. If Abraham did it, he was a human being just like us. Guess what? He served the same God as us. We can hold on in hope. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now, how to strengthen your hope. You might be thinking tonight, okay, I want to hold on in hope, Jonathan, for the fulfillment of the good promise God has made in my life. I want to hold on. But Jonathan, how do I strengthen my hope in God? Look at the past many miracles, many small miracles and small blessings that God has brought about in your life. Look back towards the faithfulness of God in your life. For example, in Abraham's situation, if you go through and read Genesis chapter 12, God brought him safely to Canaan from Haran. Genesis 12, verse 5. Then God brought him to Bethel and Ai in verses 8 and 9 of Genesis 12. Then God provided for him in Egypt when there was a famine in Canaan, verse 10 of Genesis 12. In Egypt, God provided through Pharaoh for Abraham sheep, cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants, maid servants, and camels. Verse 16 of Genesis 12. I'm sure Abraham looked at these small miracles and blessings of God in his journey towards the fulfillment of God's promise to make him into a great nation. Let me say it again. I'm sure Abraham looked at these small miracles, these small blessings of God on his journey towards the fulfillment of God's promise to make him into a great nation. He looked at God's faithfulness in the past. God brought him from place to place. He brought him to Egypt when there was a famine in Canaan. He provided him great material wealth while he was in Egypt. God was faithful to Abraham. And so Abraham probably thought, you know what? The God who did it in the past can do it for me again. The God who did it in the past will fulfill this great promise to make me into a great nation. Is that making sense here tonight? Looking back at the small miracles, looking back at the small blessings, looking back at God's faithfulness in your life in the past, and saying to yourself, the God who did it for me a year ago, a month ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, is the same God who could do it for me right now in September of 2015. Could you say amen to that here tonight? Amen. God is faithful. He will never give up on us. God has got your back. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Amen? Amen. What past blessings has God brought about for your life? In the physical realm, has he healed you of headaches, high blood pressure, whatever it might be? Hold on in hope and say to yourself, the same God who did these small physical healings in my body in the past is the same God who can remove this heart disease, is the same God who can remove this cancer, is the same God who can remove this diabetes in my life. Amen? Amen. Look back at the faithfulness of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who broke through for you in the past, miraculously, is the same God who can do it for you today. Is that good news? Hebrews 12:2, building your hope in God. Hebrews 12, verse 2. The writer of Hebrews says this. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. If you want to build your hope, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had to endure the cross, right? What brought Jesus through the cross? What brought him through? What was the anchor for his soul? Hope. It brought him through the storm and the waiting period of the cross. Why? What was Jesus looking at? What was Jesus looking at? Why did he endure the cross? Because he was looking at the goal. He was looking at millions of saved lives as a result of his work on the cross. Millions of people who would come into the kingdom of God as a result of his work on the cross. That was his hope. His hope was you and I. We were the hope of Jesus. And that's why he endured the cross, the storm, the waiting period. Amen? Amen? Isn't that awesome? So I encourage you here tonight. Look forward to the goal. What good thing has God promised you? Healing in your body, a reconciled relationship, more finances, a better job, coming out of that depression. Keep your eyes on the goal. Amen? So when you get weak, you're like, you know what? God promised me. He told me he's going to take this heart disease away. God promised me. He told me he was going to pull me out of this depression. God promised me. He told me he was going to reconcile this relationship with a family member. God promised it to me. I know God spoke to me. Keep your eyes on that promise, and God will fulfill the good promise he has made in your life. When it gets stormy, when it gets rocky, when the waiting period seems long, keep your eyes on the good promise that God has made to you, the miracle he said he would bring about in your life, the breakthrough he said he would bring about in your life. Keep your eyes on that. And when the going gets tough, the tough in God, through faith, get going. Amen? Amen. Is that good news here tonight? Yes. And finally, to build your hope, just ask God. Just ask God. Jesus said what? In Matthew chapter 7, what did Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this. in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Are you needing your hope to be strengthened? That confident expectation, anticipation of good to be strengthened in your life? Do you need to be more optimistic in life? Saying, God, I can't do this on my own. Everything around the world is going so bad. It's going so negative. God, help increase my hope. And I guarantee that if you cry out to God in prayer and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I lose hope sometimes. I get a little depressed sometimes. God will give you renewed hope, the anchor for your soul. He will give you that confident expectation that something good is about to happen in your life. Just ask him. Jesus said it. Ask and it will be given to you. If you need stronger hope, ask God and he'll give you stronger hope. Seek God for that stronger hope and it will be given to you. You will find it. Amen. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
And the greatest hope we have is what? The greatest thing we're looking forward to in our lives spiritually is what? Is eternal life with Jesus in heaven forever one day. Let's keep our eyes on eternity with Jesus forever in heaven one day. Amen? It's going to get tough in this life, friends. I'm here to tell you tonight that the Christian walk is not peaches and cream. It's not a bed of roses. It's going to get really tough on this earth at times as you're following Jesus. But we have a hope. We have an anchor for our soul to bring us through the storms of life, to bring us through the waiting periods of life. What's that hope? That hope is to be with Jesus, to be with God in heaven forever and ever one day. Is that good news?